Well, good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
This evening I wanted to look at Romans chapter 1, at Paul's longing to go and visit the believers in Rome. And so I'll read verses 8 through 17. And it says, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, whom I serve in my spirit in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. And I pray that now at last, by God's will, the way may be open for me to come to you. I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that I planned many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now. In order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I have had among other Gentiles, I am obligated both to Greek and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you and all those who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith." So here, I wanted to go through this because part of this is how we long to come together with each other. Every time that the church assembles, we should have that same desire. I long to see people here. It's encouraging. And I know that with our presence here, we encourage you also. And we're all concerned about that. So that's, Paul is longing to do that. And I see that first in verse 8, we see that Paul gives thanks to God through Jesus Christ for all the saints that are there. He's giving thanks to it. And we see that as Christians also, we need to go through Jesus, not only to get to God, not only for our prayer request, but also for our thanksgiving, to thank him for all that he does for us. And so Paul is very encouraged to visit the believers in Rome because their faith is spreading throughout the world, stories of their faith. And again, as Brian has said before, with this congregation, when visitors come, they see all the different efforts that we support, all the students that we put through the Bible institutes to become preachers and all that. So that word goes out also. So as a body of Christ, we are doing the same. And we have that effect on other Christians. Other Christians are hearing about us here at Imperial Beach. And so I think that's a very positive thing for us. And then in verse 9, it says, "God, whom I serve in my spirit in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how I constantly remember you in my prayers at all times. And I pray that now, at last, by God's will, the way may be open for me to come to you." And I can tell you, Brian told me, look at the clock this evening, which I did while we were singing. And at 6:15, he was praying for me. And he says, "You know, you look at that clock and you just know I'm praying for you." And I said, "You know what? That's super. I couldn't ask for anything more." I said, "Very good." I said, "Brian, we're praying for you too." And so, but that's, again, that's that encouragement we get from one another. And so, but Paul serves God in preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he constantly remembers all the faithful saints that are there and also in other churches. And I want to go to Romans chapter 16 and just read verses 1 through 16, just to kind of highlight. I think this is just an example of just a small portion of Paul's prayer life. In Romans 16, verses 1 through 16. And so it says, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a deacon of the church in Sentry. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of his people and to give her any help that she may need from you. For she has been a benefactor of many people, including me. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my co-workers in Jesus Christ. They risked their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentile are grateful to them. Greet also the churches that meet in their house. Greet my dear friends Epaphras, who was the first convert to Christ in the province of Asia. Greet Mary, who worked very hard for you. Greet Andronius and Julia, my fellow Jews who have been in prison with me. They are outstanding among the apostles, and they were in Christ before I was. Greet Amplivius, my dear friend in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our co-worker in Christ, and my dear friend Statius. Greet Apelles, whose fidelity to Christ has stood the test. Greet those who belong to the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my fellow Jew. Greet those who are in the household of Narcissus, who is in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Typhrosis, these women who work hard in the Lord. Greet my dear friend Persis and other women who have worked very hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, his mother, and his mother, who has been a mother to me too. Greet Ascentius, Phlegas, Hermes, Patrobus, Hermas, and the other brothers and sisters with them. Greet Philocles, Julia, Nersus, and his sister, and Olympus, and the Lord's people who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches send greetings about what is good and innocent about what is evil. So I see here that this is just a small list of people that Paul is saying, greet, watch out for. These are all people on his prayer list. And this is just to scratch the surface. And we have that same opportunity. We have a prayer list that's printed in the bulletin. And we can pray for those individuals. There's also, obviously, as we know, we can pray for our city. We can pray for our state, our country, and the world. I mean, the prayer is there, and that's where we see how Paul could, like he says, pray unceasingly. There is so much to pray and to depend upon God to do. And so I just wanted to kind of touch base on that. And it says, I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gifts and make you strong. And with that, again, we see that Paul is praying to see the saints in worship and fellowship with him. And as I said before, we should have that same longing. We should want to come together every time. And it's very encouraging to know that you are not only happy, but also concerned about me and my family. And it goes likewise. We are very happy and concerned, and we want to pray for you and your family for what is best. And as Brian says, he says it a lot, and it's very true. He says, it is always so good to come together. And it really is. It's so good to come together. And that's what Paul is longing for. He wants to be there. And for all of you this evening, I can tell you, it was an effort with the rain and everything else. It was an effort that you made to come to be here, but it was to come and be together. And so I know I appreciate, and I know we all appreciate that we did. And then in verse 13, it says, I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that I planned many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now. in order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I have had among other Gentiles. So here we see that Paul was hindered from going to them, although he always longed to go. He still had that desire. And many of the saints and the believers that he was going to go see, they were converts to Christianity by him leading them to Christ. And when he had met them in the different parts of the Roman Empire. So Paul is excited about the opportunity to preach the gospel to new converts and also to increase the fruits of the Spirit with the believers that are there. So he wants to share that, and by doing that, he not only gives to them, but then he receives back from them that ministry of giving. And so again, that's another reason, and he's just so dedicated to doing that. In 14 is where it says, I am obligated both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. So here we see that Paul is saying here that he's obligated. He's obligated to preach this. And by saying that to the Greek and the non-Greek, to the fools and the wise men, is to all people. He's obligated to preach that. I think it was in the King James, it says he's indebted. It's something he has to do. And the main reason is Paul became obligated because he realized that he was absolutely lost without Jesus. And because of the grace of God that had been so abundantly given to him through Jesus, he became obligated to a lost world. He wants to share that good news, which we all have that desire also. When you meet someone and they question, we're there. We want to have that study. We want to share with you what happened, what took place. You have the opportunity of salvation. And so that's, Paul is obligated. He's dedicated. And as you go through and you read his story, even in Acts, you see he is definitely dedicated for what he's gone through. So in 15, it says, this is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. And in here, this is where he says, I am. And this kind of led me where this is a statement that we can say. I am so eager to preach the gospel. We need to be just like that. I am eager to preach the gospel. I want to share that good news to all those that are in Rome. So here we see that Paul is saying that I am eager to preach that. Or I'm sorry, that he was obligated to preach that. And then in 15, that is why I'm so eager to preach the gospel. I don't know if I skipped that or if I went over it twice. But so he's eager. He's obligated and he's eager. And then in 16 and 17, it says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. So here we had three I am statements that I think apply to us. So here we see that he says, I am obligated to teach the gospel. We see that he says, I am ready. We need to be ready to teach the gospel. And now Paul is saying, now I am not ashamed of the gospel, which I know none of us are. And why is he not ashamed? It's because this is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. And for some people, they may ask, salvation from what? You know, salvation from what? And I just like to read Revelations chapter 20. 11 through 15. In my Bible, the heading is the judgment of the dead. It says, "Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. The earth and the heavens fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. And books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done as a record in the book. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and the death of Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is a second death. Anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire." That's what Paul is very concerned about. That's what we are very concerned about. We want to save people from that. And the next part that Paul goes into is the wrath of God. He talks about the wrath of God. And I think to fully understand God's love, you have to understand his wrath. And that, again, God is righteous, but like they say, sometimes we as man change, or we define what the wrath of God is. Like, yeah, God's wrath, his judgment is true, and it's going to be righteous, but maybe he might forgive this little thing because, you know, everything else I do is good. But that's not what it is. It's not that at all. You have to be in Jesus Christ. And so that's, to close this lesson, that's, I think, Paul's desire, his intention was to share that gospel, to keep people from that judgment. When we go before God, he's going to see us in Christ. That's the only way that we're going to be saved. He will see that, yes, we are in Christ, so we'll be able to enter. And that's the good news. And so, again, if you're not a member of the Church of Christ and you haven't been baptized into the Lord's Church, we'd like to offer that opportunity to you this evening. And that opportunity stands even during the week. All you have to do is call. And we can assist you in that way. So, again, the call is there. If you're not a member, or if you'd like to have more study, you'd like to know more, again, we're here to help assist you in that. So let us be standing as we sing the song that Dennis has called out.